We've got T-Highway Amendment Agreement and also Lookout Acres Intergovernmental Agreement. All members here, as well as Mr. Paulson, John Suti, and Travis. So,
if you got the T-Highway agreement there.
Mm-hmm, right here.
There's
questions?
Yeah. I went out yesterday diving around looking projects. I looked at the Kirbyville project, went down T-Highway. I've actually visited with the lady that comes to the meetings.
Yeah, Miss Smokey.
Smokey. Mm-hmm. And she's really concerned about anything that goes on down there. On that, matter of fact, she was in tears yesterday about that project. So I,
yes,
I don't know how to resume talking to her without getting some answers from maybe sewer board or somebody. She doesn't think it's fair that she, you know, has to pay for all the delinquent trailer hookups. I guess she pretty well stated that at the sewer board meeting.
She has several times, yes.
A real nice lady just to talk to, but she's pretty emotional about this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And we need her easement to get up that back side, don't we?
We need her easement to serve two more structures, and Mr. Tarvin with Aegis Engineering is trying to contact those two property owners to see if they even want sewer or not. There's two homes that are beyond her.
Yeah.
They've got eight mobile homes on a septic system there that within their mobile home park and then their home. As part of the project, would build a service line right up to their septic tank. They've got, I believe, 13 acres there that would be, with central public sewer there, would be opened up for future development. But that's been her concern, is that she feels that she should not be responsible if her tenants should not pay the sewer bill. State statute gives the sewer district the right to pursue unpaid or delinquent accounts with the property owner, and that's a policy that Jim Justice, when he was the sewer district's attorney, had helped us establish, and we've lived by that policy since 1995. The sewer board, she's been to the board, brought this issue up at least three times, and the board, while they are sympathetic to our concerns, looking at the delinquencies that we deal with, if we did not have that policy, we would lose a lot of our financial issues would greatly be affected.
Yeah.
And that's where the sewer board stand is on it, because we would have to reciprocate with any other customer if we would make a change for her.
Right.
And we serve several rental properties and other properties that we have similar issues with. We're currently in a lawsuit right now with a pretty sizable modular home park over this issue. We're maybe seeing some light at the end of the tunnel on that now, finally. But it's just a concern to the sewer district that we got to treat everybody the same. And if we discontinue that policy financially, that could definitely affect us. And for whatever lost revenues that we experience, we've got to pass that cost back to the user, because that's where our revenues come from. So if we lose revenues here, we just got to raise the rates here to make up for that, and it kind of starts a vicious circle. But that's the history of it to date,
right,
as far as the sewer board's answer to her request not to hold her responsible for that.
So if it... if they decide that they're going to go on past there, they don't run to a centralized manhole or anything like that and let them dig to or furnish their own Because that's what she told me. Yes, she said yesterday that she would rather, if the sewer line come along the edge of their property, that they have stub outs just like you would have on any other properties, and that as needed, they would hook up, they would do their own digging and hooking up to it.
That's
because she said she couldn't, if she had two tenants not pay, I guess according to the way they've got their budget and everything on that property and what they've done, she said that, you know, that that would put them in a financial situation where they couldn't pay their...
We've discussed with her that what we try to work at, we try, people that have multiple structures, instead of billing multiple structures, we try to work with the owner and send out one bill. And they would take, like right now it's $32.88 per residential structure. They would just take that and apply that toward each and increase the rent by that amount. We've talked to her about that. We've talked to her about on their water supply, if they wanted to install a meter there, that we could do a commercial meter rate. But that's ways of billing her. It still don't address her issue of being responsible if her people don't pay the sewer bill. And that's why we tried to encourage her to build that into the rent to the tenant. And then she could ensure that the bill's always going to be paid because she would be in control of that. She's afraid if she raises her rent that she's going to lose tenants. And that's her answer to that question. I don't want to speak for her, but that's what I feel
is her
answer.
Yeah, she's lost two tenants lately, and she's afraid that the addition of anything else and the loss of any more tenants, not the $32.
Yes.
Not the $32. It's the loss of tenants. She's lost two tenants recently, and any more loss of tenants is going to jeopardize her. So, I can see both sides of the deal, and I can also understand where she's at on...
One option to us, and as I explained to her, is that if the two folks back there, you know, are not that excited about having public sewer, then we could stop the sewer construction at their property. And if in the future that they did want to connect up, you know, and or sell their property, and somebody bought the property and wanted to expand the development on that property, the sewer line would still be there. Maybe we can address that later.
Yeah,
it would be another option. So,
has anybody talked about? I mean, did she visit with you? I missed that part of her conversation at the sewer board. If they have go to the other properties that they stub out for her personal location, and then have the other stub outs like you would do any, well, say as we went down Hickory or Casey Road, where we stubbed out to different places where they're possible property. Is there such a thing as doing that? I'm trying to look at both, try to satisfy the situation if there's a stub out there for future, because she's, and I tried to explain to her, I said, look, I don't know whether you've lived around here very long, I don't know anything about your history or anything, but you were personally trying to trench sewer line in this rock, and that's what it is, it's glade rock,
yeah.
And I said, you've got... heck of an expanse. I don't think she ever did grasp that.
It's a considerable length. There's actually one of the lines, a segment line itself is what's going to have to be installed to get up there. The Michelle property, and that is on another line, and there's going to have to be a whole other segment line to get up to her and on past her, so it's a considerable cost to us. There's options there. It could be built, it could be stubbed out. But there's a considerable cost there if we're not going to get any return out of it.
Yeah.
You know, if they're not going to connect up and pay a monthly sewer fee to help us expand our revenues, we're going to put out a significant cost, and really there's no benefit to us.
Yeah.
Those are options that can be considered. She's welcome to come and present that, you know, as on the agenda of the sewer board and see what they may or may not want to do, and then we can bring that recommendation back to the county commission. But that's our concern. you know, it kind of just stems from her not wanting to be responsible for those tenants.
You know, mm-hmm. That's where this started. I sat and listened for an hour yesterday to the issues on the thing, and I just wish that we could work the deal out to where it was satisfactory to all, but I don't know whether it can be or not, so.
Building that segment of line, that's just a concern there. We're going to, I don't know what the bid prices will be on that, but it's solid rock.
Yeah.
I mean, that whole area up there is just rock.
It's just rock.
And knowing that nobody's going to connect to it when we do it, that's tough.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that, I'm like you, I wish that we could find somewhere in the middle, but, with what she's wanting us to do, we're really going to put ourselves in a position with all of our other customer base out there. You know, if we relinquish that policy that we have on the tenants and the property owner issue.
I think she's thinking as a utility instead of the sewer district operating under different guidelines. You know, if one of her tenants doesn't pay the electric bill, the power company comes mm-hmm. and shuts that power off.
Yeah.
If the water isn't there, the water company comes and shuts the water off. And that's what her chain of thought is. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of hard to get her mind in a different direction. But I tried to talk to her. Like I said, I was there probably for close to an hour yesterday.
Yeah.
She was at actually weed eating alongside the road there mm-hmm. when I went by. And I honked as I went by because I seen her there. And she waved. And then whenever she wanted to visit about it. And she was quite emotional about the whole thing.
She's a very nice lady. She's been to the sewer board, and I think the sewer board is sympathetic to her concerns. I truly believe that. It's just with what she's asking to do in that relation, she's went into tears at the sewer board meeting, and that affects the guys and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's just that request is a hard one, and Mr. Paulson even looked at it from a benefit of the standpoint for the sewer district and what that would mean to us. And has concerns about that too, if we relinquish that policy.
Yeah.
If we relinquish that policy, it'll make it very difficult for us to collect on a lot of our delinquent bills. When you have tenants who leave, if the owners aren't responsible, there's no way we'll ever collect.
Yeah. And actually, we're going to have a work session after the next sewer board meeting because the sewer board wants to turn up our means of collecting sewer bills. It's not epidemic, but it's getting to be a concern, and we're wanting to come up with new policies and look at other statutes that's available to us and stuff and try to get procedures set up for that. So they're even wanting to get more aggressive in that. So I don't see us, coming down off of the policy. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to get a little bit more, with what is in the realm that we can do without going up beyond that.
Right, and I can't speak for the sewer board, and I don't, all I was there was to listen.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did get out of it is if they're going to have two more up the line that are possible hookups, and it's not in her best interest to go to her location or have a centralized manhole or centralized mm-hmm. box or whatever for them to run into, she said, that trailer may not be sitting there in that location.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is a shop building now that used to be a tenant.
Yes.
And she said it has no water, and so there's no need for sewer.
Mm-hmm. I explained to her that she would not be billed for that.
Right. But she went, she went through the whole thing. So I listened to the whole thing yesterday and understood where she was coming from, but I didn't know if that's a possibility that she goes, but I don't think she understands her cost at a later date.
Well, that's going to come up, probably it's going to have to, what we're going to do with that, because it's in the preliminary design to run those lines up there. So there's going to have to be a decision with the sewer district made on whether we go up and just drop it there as far as dropping the stub out and the line there just on the other side of their property, or if we take that segment of line out. So
yeah,
she's welcome to come and, you know, and with any other options that she may have. That's why I talked with Joe Tarvin. I said, you know, we really need to know if those two properties that are to the, I guess, the east of her property,
mm-hmm. yeah.
if they actually are going to be, you know, very willing to jump on with the sewer district or not, because if they're not, that probably will have a bearing there too. But we've right. got one up there that just absolutely don't want anything to do with it, but they're on down a little bit further.
On down the road just a little bit.
It would require a small pump station.
Yeah.
So that's really not of any benefit to us. So.
Right.
But, you know, if it's there and they have a change of heart, they could always connect later, you know. But then, you know, like again, there's the thought, well, we build the sewer line and we spend tens of thousands of dollars to do it, and it's there for future, but it's not being utilized. And, you know, the Coon Creek line there on Mr. Plott's property, that kind of echoes back to the past, you know. And we were trying to sewer the watershed, because development back in the 90s was just occurring everywhere. We were afraid, you know, this property is going to sell, not Mr. Plott's, but the property there. We need to be ready for it. But we took a lot of comments about that. Well, that was definitely good intentions, and we had a plan. I still don't know if we did it. I don't think we did anything wrong by any means, but development slacked off. Now we've got a quarter mile of the line out there. It's 24-inch diameter setting out there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's some of the things you get into.
But one thing about it, and I can argue that point all day long, is you got a 24-inch line that cost you $89,000, and if you put it in today, it would cost you $1,890,000 to do the same thing. So, you know,
I agree.
But anyway, I had to listen to both sides, and I wanted to bring it up to you this morning because she brought it up to me.
Appreciate that.
And I had to bring it up to you and find out. Those are the people that represent. I drive those locations. Got another situation, and I don't know. We don't have it posted, but I'll talk to you administratively on it on the Kirbyville project.
Okay.
So whenever we get around, well, I need to visit with you about some requirements that they're having to do that makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Okay.
On removal of some dirt that's got grass growing on it this deep where there wasn't any glade rock before.
Now, restoration of dirt?
They put dirt down and the grass is already this tall, and there was no grass there.
Okay.
Before the sewer project, there was no grass there. But now there's grass this tall that you have to mow, but because it doesn't meet a standard, they're asked to remove it.
Okay.
So I'll visit with you about that later.
Okay, appreciate that.
All right, we have amendment number one, T Highway Service Area. It's been approved by the sewer board and signed. And includes a new lift station. It's part of the amendment, is that correct?
We have, this is the second of two agreements we have with Aegis Engineering. The first agreement with Aegis Engineering is to design the T Highway collection system. Okay. And a part of that, a component of that first agreement, was to look at the options that we need to approved to address the lift station, because to serve that area and the other areas there adjacent to the lift station and the existing collection system, that pump station is going to have to be upgraded. And the sewer board voted to do a significant upgrade to that lift station in the Spring Meadows area. This agreement here is for the acquisition of the property, easements, and the design of that lift station upgrade, which was not in the first agreement. Mr. Paulson made some changes to the document. The county and the sewer district were combined into one description, otherwise known as the county. We split those out to the sewer district, otherwise known as the district, county, otherwise known
What they were doing was making the contract with the sewer district and the county and saying that the county was going to do all these things. Well, it's the district that's doing them.
Right.
The county's funding them.
Right.
So I separated those functions out. The county's not doing any of
this
these things.
District.
We're simply funding it as the district does it. We're agreeing to fund it as appropriate, and that's how we're involved in the contract. It keeps us in the contract, but it doesn't say that we're doing things that the district is doing.
What's the cost of this?
The total cost of the contract, probably about $165,000. I don't have a calculator here handy with me. We have a lump design services, a lump sum of $72,500. We have bidding services of $4,300. We have engineering during construction, which is the inspection and resident project engineer activities. During construction is $78,800. And then the construction staking is $7,000. Also, one of the things that was added is the first item there under Article 2 is easement preparation and acquisition of easement and lift station site. That was an hourly in accordance with the rates attached to this document. We took 15% of the contract, and which is $24,000, and we plugged a number in there. So there's not like a blank check there, but there's $24,000 in there for that, and not that it may not be exceeded, but if it is to be exceeded, then the sewer board would have to approve that, and the county commission would have to approve that with justification of why we need to go over that $24,000 mark.
So just real round figures, engineering, all this is about $170,000 or
there in the neighborhood, you know, and those are lump sums. I'm not, you know, the engineering is basically there. It's not to exceed that. It could be less than that, you know, depending on how many hours the inspector has to be out there on this given project.
Has there been an estimated cost of the work?
Right now, the estimated cost of the work is on the pump station is right at $1 million. The initial upgrade on I've got that documentation back at the office, but the initial upgrade just to get the capacity to where we need to be at with none additional was 600, and you know I wish I had been better prepared to answer that question. It was like $680,000 for an additional $250,000 to $300,000. We can double the capacity of the lift station and be prepared for growth, and, you know, when the economy turns around, this and that and the other. And with having that commodity, which that commodity would be the capacity, if development does occur, then we will get a portion of that back through capacity fees that we normally charge anyway. Along with the pump station upgrade, there's sections of line that exist within the Coon Creek sewer system located on the Keys property and some of the other properties going to the lift station that will have to be upgraded. And there's also a section of line within Cross Creek that goes from an 8-inch to a 10-inch to an 8-inch. We want to make that consecutively a 10-inch line. So there's line segment upgrades that are a part of this, too, not just a lift station upgrade.
Can I ask just two questions regarding this?
Yes.
Which is, has the sewer board agreed to do the project then, obviously? If you're going this, you guys haven't voted to approve the project itself.
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. What Joe, as part of Joe's, Mr. Tarvin with Aegis's first agreement was to bring the options back to the board. He brought two options back, and they approved the option of the expansion to go with the larger lift station.
Okay, they did. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. While we're on the subject, John, you got any sense of the project before this amendment? What was the project going to cost?
What we had from Mr. Tarvin's estimates was 1.2 to 1.5 million.
Now, have we voted on the T Highway yet?
Mm-hmm.
On the overall project too?
Yes. Yeah, he's designing it now. Now, He's designed the project. We have not bid the project out or anything like that.
Okay, that's
what we're not even close to that.
Okay, that's what I was asking.
No, I'm sorry. Mr. Tarvin is in the easement acquisition phase now with the project, but we have not. And once we go to bid, you know, those bids would be opened by the sewer district, that we would bring that recommendation to the county commission, and we'd have pre-construction or pre-bid meetings and all those things to go through. We're still in the design phase.
John, if what we were talking about earlier, when it goes out for bid phase, if there is a question about the area that we were speaking of earlier, is that a add-on or an added to or...
That could be, it could be designed either way.
To bid it one way and then have the add-on for that other, or what do you think?
Actually, right now, that area is part of the overall project.
That's what I thought. But
yes.
Now, as we have discussions and talk and see that there could be complications there, then that would be as... bid as an add-on, maybe.
That's definitely an option. It could be added on to the project, and if the cost comes back to where we, you know, at a level where we don't want to proceed, we could drop it out.
Yeah,
it could be done that way. Yeah,
yeah.
It's very early in the game, so anything can be structured.
I knew we'd already approved the T Highway project, but we hadn't put it out for bid.
The design of it. Right.
It's what we had approved.
Yeah. We're in the design and easement acquisition.
But you got to have this other part done before we even go any farther.
Well, you got to know what you're bidding, yeah. So
I'll make a motion to approve this amendment, whatever it
number
is.
Number one.
Second. One more question, John. Mm-hmm. On the project, how many businesses and residences are we expecting on the project? You got an idea? Should ask you this before, I guess. But.
Probably 25 structures. You know, we got the Pet Resort is the one business that stands out.
Legion.
Yes.
Legion's a big one.
Yeah, the American Legion and the Body Shop, that whole area up through there.
The nursery, Body Shop, Legion, welding shop,
thrift store, whatever it is now.
Yeah,
it's
a whole deal.
You know, and walking those with Mr. Tarvin, I don't know where their septic tanks are at. I tell you, I don't know.
We
got the Church Army situation there, and
it will include that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yep.
And then they need some help. They're hanging in there, but they need some help.
Yep. Okay, just curious how many we were going to get.
I'd say for approximately 26, and I can get you a solid number on that.
That's close. That's good.
Sure.
John, I've worked on this since probably my second year that I was in office, and so it needs to be addressed. The DNR is going to step in sooner or later.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing to get sewer on down T Highway, and we can get it on the east side of T Highway there, you know, it's good for the sewer district.
Yeah.
We're going to open some things up there, and we're going to serve some current environmental issues that people are just hanging on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that's a good thing. We've been working on it probably about 3.5 years.
Other questions? Ready to vote?
Yep.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Next one we've got is the intergovernmental agreement on the Lookout Acres water line project. Questions?
Bob's reviewed this?
Correct.
Everything's good?
The changes that were made, there was originally, well, basically it says that the first $50,000, I don't have it in front of me, is going to be paid by the association, that there's an amount that the Forsyth City is going to pay.
$100,000.
And that sewer district is going to pay $75,000.
Maximum of.
And the total cost is $225,000. If the bids come in over $225,000, stuff can be canceled and people refunded as appropriate. However, if the bids come in under $225,000, there was something added. If there were cost overruns that made it go over $225,000, even though the bids came in under. And what that does is that says that in the event of cost overruns, despite what it says in 3C about 75,000 being the maximum, mm-hmm. that any overruns when the bids come in under 225 but exceed 225 because of the overruns will be shared half and half by the city of Forsyth and the district.
Okay. Motion to approve the intergovernmental agreement for Lookout Acres.
Does this, Bob, does this include, I guess I should have, I'd second your motion, but I, does this include what we have already done on the water line that went down Casey Road?
That would have to be answered by Mr. Suti.
Okay, there was an issue about the water line that went down Casey Road that affected this very same thing about either oversize or...
There's a component of these costs that will include a new water line to be constructed down along Casey Road to serve to bring city water and new water line to those 14 homes down there between Hickory Street and Blackhawk, which is Casey Heights subdivision.
Okay.
I know we built the sewer line down Casey Road.
Well, we put a water line down one side of it too.
I was not aware of that.
I think that was just the one home.
I know my grandmother lives in the third house down Hickory Street, and the Water Association built a little section of water line down through there and stopped at her concrete driveway for some reason.
Okay. I'm just trying to get my picture, just kind of get a hand on what we were talking about and if we'd already done part of it. But maybe not.
There was a little bit of water line improvement that was... I think there was intentions to go with that, and somehow, I don't know, it wasn't a county issue, it was kind of the Water Association issue, but it didn't really go to what they wanted to do with it while the county was working on the road out there.
Okay, I probably enough said about it because I was just questioning.
I think Frank can explain that better. I think it was an issue of just one home. Not doesn't apply here, I don't think.
Okay.
This would include a new 8-inch water line to be constructed from Hickory down to Blackhawk, though, which would bring city water to those 14 homes there. And I've talked with HDR, Archer, and there's great emphasis to protect that road. Let's protect mm-hmm. that road. And
just to be truthful with you, that's where I was going because we went the extra length to do everything possible we thought might be in the future.
Yeah.
Or might. Another one over there. So that's what I was concerned about.
Yeah. We've got all the stub outs provided and everything there for the sewer. You know, when the county built the sewer line, we put the stub outs already on the properties for the sewer connection, so we won't have to get back and tear it up for that for sure.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to add is that Forsyth has not signed off on being a part of that overrun, though. Travis and I are going to meet with Forsyth Monday night, so the commission could approve it, tentatively. Based
contingent.
On Forsyth, or contingently.
Why don't you change my motion to contingent on Forsyth's approval, or all parties' approval?
My second, the same.
Okay. Other questions, comments? All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Is there just one copy of that?
Now we've got another agreement.
Yeah. Okay.
You want to explain that, Travis?
I need five of the city, one for the UI, one for the city district, the Water Association.
Okay. All right. While I'm signing the next, disincorporation of Bradleyville be next on the list?
Yes.
Got something for us on that, Bob?
Yes.
We have another agreement?
Yeah, there was two for Hickory Street. I mean, I didn't want to give you guys business, but there was actually two agreements.
What?
Two different agreements?
Well, we got the exclusive turf.
That's not up today. We're not doing that today. The sewer board didn't do it.
Well, they had a few things. I didn't know where we was at.
It's not a problem. It's pretty much done, and I could have had it done for today, but the sewer board has not yet approved it, so there's no reason
on
for
my part.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Travis. Thank you, John.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay, Bradleyville.
Okay. We were ready to go, except I sent something off to Connie, and I'm trying to remember her last name. I've got a copy of the letter, and I'll be sending something immediately here to the Department of Revenue so that Bradleyville doesn't get another check from the Department of Revenue, fuel tax, that sort of thing. It was too late. It had to be done before the 10th. Right now is a real good time to get this done and get it faxed up to Connie. The last automatic deposit came in. John came in, and John Combs did, and gave that check sometime earlier this week to Helen. And now we have all the money again that was in the treasury of the village of Bradleyville. I don't think those have been closed yet because they haven't been cashed yet, but they are there. There's been talk between Helen and Rick about what special account to put that in. I'd have to talk to them to see if they've been cashed, but they need to be cashed. I've prepared an order so that we can get it up to the Department of Revenue and the Secretary of State. Let me just read the order. I need to add the correct amounts when I see what this check is from John to Helen, but let me just read. Order dissolving the village of Bradleyville. Comes now the County Commission of Taney County, Missouri, to hear the matter of disincorporation of the village of Bradleyville, and fines and orders as follows. The registered voters of the village of Bradleyville voted to disincorporate the village in an election held on August 4th, 2009. 80.610 of the revised statutes of Missouri provides and talks about the dissolution and what you need to do. I've cited 80.620, 630, about the procedure, 640, 650, 6070. And then John Combs was appointed to be the trustee in disincorporation of the village of Bradleyville. John Combs, pursuant to section 80.650 RISMO, has paid into the treasury of the Taney County Commission all assets of the village of Bradleyville as follows. And in here I put the general account, bank account number, and the road and bridge account number, and I've put amounts, but I need to get the most recent amount from Helen to add in there. The village has no lawsuits to prosecute or defend. There's no money due to the village that requires collection. No claims have been asserted against the village. The village has no property to sell. The trustee has made a report to the county commission pursuant to 80.640 RISMO. Trustee pursuant to 8660 has also submitted to the county commission a request for attorney's fees of the trustee in disincorporation. And number 15, John Combs waived compensation for his services as trustee. Wherefore, it is ordered as follows. The village of Bradleyville be hereby disincorporated and dissolved as a municipal corporation and political subdivision. B, the monies deposited in the Taney County Treasury be held in a special line item to be used for the benefit of the dissolved area of the village of Bradleyville and to be used on the specific object, if found to be appropriate by the county commission, as petitioned by the majority of the taxable inhabitants of the village of Bradleyville, as permitted by Section 60.870 RISMO, once all attorney's fees to William McCullough, attorney of the trustee, are paid. That a copy of this order be sent to the Department of Revenue and the Missouri Secretary of State. D, that the trustee of the village of Bradleyville deliver to the Taney County Clerk all books, papers, minutes, orders, records, deeds, and other documents and official correspondence of the village of Bradleyville. So ordered at the courthouse in Forsyth, Missouri on June 4th, 2010. And with the stipulation that I need to add the correct amounts, I would ask you to approve the order dissolving the village of Bradleyville.
Okay. So moved. Second. So what you just read is that order.
Is that order absent the correct amounts? Okay. And I'll fill those in when I go see Helen. But they need to cash the checks, I will get you to sign it probably later today, and I will fax it up to Connie at the Department of Revenue so no other checks come out. She said it had to be into them before the 10th. I will fax it today. And then I'll send it hard copy, and I'll send a hard copy to the Missouri Secretary of State because they need to know when any corporation is dissolved, even municipal corporations. So. And you had questions about what you could spend the money on, and I found in that statute that is to be held for the benefit of the village, but there may be a petition by the majority of the taxable inhabitants of that village to spend it on a specific object as long as it's appropriate. It doesn't say as long as it's appropriate, but I mean that's assumed. They couldn't spend it on a party out there or something in the village of Bradford, a disincorporation party.
Okay. Ready to vote?
Ready.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.
All right. Done with that. And I will get that to you later today.
All right.
Presiding Commissioner, sir.
Sounds good. All right. Next on our list is approval of personal property refunds. See Donna coming our way. I wouldn't care. I'd be happy to look at them, yes. About eight of them or something here.
You're going to have two in there for the same person. One is 2008, one is 2009.
Okay. Go ahead. Cindy's looked at these and
we both looked at them.
Feel like everything's right and in order.
And all the proof is attached.
Okay.
And if you want me to explain any of it to you, I can certainly do that.
Okay. Got abatement number 201-1-0132-184-133-110-110-143-112. $122 is about abate for partial refund. Lease taxed should be taxed in. So that's they were taxed in the wrong district.
Right. What they've done back here is they've moved it over into a different. Here's the add-on for it. So they were abating just that one that was the wrong tax code. Here they put it back on and paid it in the correct tax code. So we're just removing that one item off of the Branson tax code because that vehicle wasn't in Branson. So this is your add-on for that vehicle into the correct tax code, and we're going to be refunding just that one vehicle right here because that should have been in a different tax code. Apparently, they have it somewhere else.
Okay.
Motion to approve all abatements as read out loud.
Second. Presented by the clerk. Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Okay. Next on our list is Air Park Plat. Mr. Coxey is making his way to the table.
As you know, last week we met with the developer of the Perfect Landing Air Park in Cedar Creek, Missouri, concerning a request she had before you gentlemen to approve one specific lot. On Friday of last week, she presented to you another plat, at which time the decision was made to contact some surveyors in the area to see if they would review the plat and also, I think, in the project as a whole. So the names mentioned were Ken Buchanan, Larry Garner, Eddie Wolf. To that, I also added Doug Fabian, and have talked to all these individuals, and I'll tell you where we stand. That's why I'm here this morning. Doug Fabian is going to be unavailable to do this. He is leaving to go out of town, so that coupled with somewhat of the complexity of it. He was not not wanting to do that, but he will be out of town. He said no, he would not be able to do that. Contacted Kim Buchanan, made an appointment to come in and see us on Friday. Friday afternoon he called and said that he would not be able to keep that appointment. He'd be in on Tuesday. Tuesday he didn't show up, didn't call, haven't heard from him since, have not returned a call to him. Talked to Larry Garner's office. Of course, as you know, Larry is retired now, works kind of part-time. He was out of town, unable to be reached until Tuesday. Did call again Tuesday morning, talked with Larry, and then spoke with Larry here at the sewer board meeting. He said he would come by and look. I offered to take everything to him or meet him somewhere, and as of today, he's not been able to look, or I don't know what the deal is. So I don't have any kind of word from him as to whether he could or could not do that. Talked to Eddie Wolf. He quoted us a $60 an hour rate to do that. Figured it would take somewhere between 8 to 16 hours because they're going to have to go back and look at warranty deeds and all kind of things like that. Said he could get on it whenever we needed. So that's where I stand. If you have somebody else you'd like me to contact, I'd be glad to do that. However, do be aware that we have 21 days from the day that plat was given us to finish up and get a response to it. And now we're in... Yes, sir.
No, I got a question.
Okay.
You said how many hours? The one?
Somewhere between 8 and 16.
At a rate of?
60. And Eddie seemed to think it would run somewhere between $1,000 and $1,500 to do this.
Is that a fee that the county would pick up?
I'm guessing it's going to hit our budget line somewhere in legal expenses, or I don't know if it would be legal expenses, but it's something that wasn't budgeted for.
And we don't do it for anybody else.
No, sir, we have not.
We could try to pass it on to the user, but obviously we're looking to solve a problem. We may need to have some of these services available to planning and zoning at some point in the future. I think that we need somebody that can, Eddie does a great job, but he's not an expert plat reviewer. He's not a surveyor. He doesn't do title searches and that sort of thing. It might be a good idea to have somebody, especially on the complicated ones, to go ahead and have available to do these reviews. And I'll let Eddie speak.
Other departments do this. I don't know if Broken Bridge does, but I know the sewer department has an engineering company that reviews all of their plats, projects, legal descriptions, things like that, on an as-needed basis by them, and then they're paid, I think, probably by the job or whatever the case might be. And talking with John Suti of the sewer district and everything, even a few months ago, you know, it was suggested that probably is something that planning and zoning should look at. As you saw from the plats presented to you just the other day, they can get pretty involved, pretty complicated, trying to catch everything on them. But at the current time, we don't have anything in place. Now, the other places that do this, that is an expense that is borne by the developer, and it's passed on to them. Of course, that's up front when your plat comes in. This is what it's going to cost because it's going to be reviewed by a second party.
But is that in the form of a bond?
Pardon, sir?
Is that in the form of them paying a bond?
There'd be a fee.
No, sir, it would just be a flat fee.
And it would have to be in your regulations,
right,
your bylaws, that fee would have to be paid. Sometimes it's done as a fee. If yours is a complicated case, you're going to pay what it costs. But there's other ways of doing it, having your fees reflect that at a certain schedule, that even if yours isn't that complicated, you're paying the same fee as somebody else doing the same kind of plat. Mm-hmm. So it can be done a couple of different ways.
Right now, the plats are reviewed in our office. We check for some very basic things. As projects like this grow and everything get more and more complicated with easements and everything like that, the statement was made as we were reviewing this. I told you that I've sat with Bob Dixon and with Tim out of the assessor's office that this is pretty complicated, and we got a lot of counsel from several different places because we all feel like this is pushing the limits of our collective knowledge on this. So,
how do we assure ourselves that we'd ever collect on anything like this?
On this, I don't know if there's any way that you could, collect on this particular instance. If you set that up in the future as part of your code book or whatever the case might be, that, you know, plats will be reviewed by a third party at the expense of the developer, and of course we'd have to have some kind of fee schedule. You know, it's either on a per hour basis or whatever, depending on the complexity of it, or just a per review fee or something like that.
What we've got is a situation where we don't have this situation in effect in our bylaws, our rules, our regulations. We don't have the ability to collect these fees. We can't just accept a plat from someone without review just because a surveyor or engineer or somebody has stamped it. I mean, yeah, they're on the hook, but we're also, they're not our engineer, and we're accepting something that's wrong, perhaps, that's messed up, just because an engineer or surveyor has stamped it doesn't mean that it's correct. We want to make sure that it's correct, and when we see problems, we've got to do something, and we need to have our own person review these more complicated, possibly faulty situations. And we could end up in litigation over this situation as well. And if we end up in litigation, we're going to have to show why, you know, we were reasonable in declining this map if a surveyor has stamped it. So we need to make sure that we've reviewed it in a thorough way. And I'm not a surveyor. Eddie's not a surveyor.
Yeah, but you both have common sense enough to know that that plat won't stand up in any court, don't you?
Yes, sir.
I hope so.
There's areas there that I we would look at and say, of course, what the bigger picture was, what can we do to, to get this? What's going to take to make this project be in compliance?
So. Right, and is this judge ordered? You said 21 days.
That's part of our code book.
You either decline or accept. If you don't decline or accept, it's automatically approved.
Right. You remember that last week in the meeting it was stated that every time a plat's given to us, a response is given back, a written response, and that is required by law. So.
Okay. Now, you only have one choice as of now, and that's Eddie Wolf.
Yes, sir.
And you have it for $60 an hour and a maximum of 16.
He figured a maximum of 16 hours. So
I don't know that we have any other choice than approve it. So I'm going to make a motion that we go ahead and approve Eddie Wolf to review and make corrections if needed. Right?
What my understanding is, if I can talk right now without a second, is that
second? We may have to revise the motion a little bit. I'm not sure. Depending on what you say.
We were going to ask him to review the project, give him all the history on the project, everything like that. He was going to review the plat and state what issues he might find with the plat. He would list those out according to state statute and to county code book. But I think he was also going to give us some recommendations in the future of the other issues there. Am I correct on that? That what you understood in the future, how we can keep this thing on track without violating any of the state statutes or codes as future plats came through?
I mean, the goal, as we said, was to, a lot of people have bought property out there. We don't want people ripped off. We don't want people hurt. We certainly want the development to go forward in the best manner possible without violating the code, the laws, and without hurting any people who have already purchased out there. I mean, the common good is what we're looking for here.
So he would give the list of deficiencies, if there are, that was requested by Mr. Styron, so that they could amend this plat, bring it back, and say we're good to go.
So in my motion, could we ask that, or is he going to do that? Eddie, get with Mr. Styron and address all issues that pertain to this plat, so it can be approved by the county planning and zoning administrator or the county commission, or however.
Well, he would certainly consult with Mr. Styron as necessary. Mr. Styron represents the Warners and the Perfect Landing Air Park, which definitely he will have a slant. It's his job to represent his client. However, you know, he's very competent in this area of the law, and it would behoove Mr. Wolf to consult with him occasionally.
Right, but he didn't have to. We got 21 days according to our deal. They don't have 21 days according to Mr. Wolf's.
Well, if Mr. Wolf hasn't completed his work within 21 days, it would be my advice, but I'm not in a position of authority, would be to decline the plat and allow them to resubmit, because you don't want to automatically approve something that you don't know is kosher.
Correct. And he did seem to think that a couple of days he could have this done, and he did state that he could get on it right away. He understands the time frame that we're under. Of course, as soon as this happens, there will be another plat submitted, because I'm almost positive there's a couple issues with the plat that we have in front of us. So it'll have to be looked at. Now, if we're going to make this with Mr. Wolf contingent on getting a plat, this, you know, through to where this plat is signed and everything, you know, that might not be possible to do, because she may have some issues that she's got to do on site that will preclude, you know, it could be months and months before some of that could be done if and we're talking infrastructure, you know, issues out there before a whole plat could be signed.
Right, but what I want to make sure is where she said that she added on acreage to make plats work, I mean, make lots work and all those kind of things. I think those all have to be written documents.
Right. He was going to review each and every parcel out there. That's why he said it would take a while to do that. Yeah. So,
and a written document's not enough. You have to make sure you get all the sign-offs before you can...
Correct.
From the people that own the properties.
Yes. He is somebody that I consulted with before, as I did with Trilex Title and Bob Dixon. Also, to, you know, Bob saying we need some people in here that do this for a living, you know, to find out how this thing can work without us making missteps again. So
it says, read back the motion, would you? Because I think you said something about making changes to the plat. We're not going to ask them to do that. We're just making recommendations of changes. He's not going to change the plat.
He's going to review the plat that we have in hand, my understanding. He's going to say, here's where this plat's deficient. Here's what needs to be done, and as far as the whole project is concerned, here's the issues that you have.
We're not making suggestions to them. We're not giving them legal advice.
Read what you wrote, because I thought I heard something we may have changed.
Commissioner Strahan moved to approve the hiring of Eddie Wolf to review the plat and create a list of deficiencies for review by planning, zoning, and attorney. Is it Carrie Steyer?
That sound right with you?
Yeah, we don't need to put that he needs to consult with Mr. Steyer.
Perfect.
All right.
That is our motion.
Uh-huh.
And we have a second.
Me.
I think everybody's got concern, I do, that we're stuck in a spot where we about have to do this, but we may be here in 21 days or whatever period of time with issues that this isn't resolved, but until we can go through this process, we really need to put on our agenda somewhere in the near future, next time we've got bylaws or whatever's needed, that because this isn't really fair and right to everybody else that's presenting projects that are...
That is correct. I've had several
set up well, yeah. And
right.
The thought is that if they're good plans and we don't have to hire somebody, we do it in-house, but if it's outside, then we need something in the book that says the developer would be responsible. Everybody same mind there?
Yep.
So we need to keep that on the burner right away.
Okay.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Other comments? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.
I'll contact
you. Thank you, Eddie.
Do you want to say anything about the other ones that could not worry?
Just a second. They're whispering.
Yes.
Mr. Paulson has something, I think.
Eddie whispered something to me that we discussed a day or two ago. We received a public notice of a permit extension for a mining operation out on 165 next to the Wilderness RV park, where they had, I guess the word is, denuded the hill when they were turned down for planning and zoning use, and they turned it
into a quarry of sorts, and they're now asking for an additional 32 acres for a total of 40 acres, which they only have 8 acres now, that they want to do this quarry operation and, I guess, denude more of the hill or the area on 165. And the question is, do we as a county want to object or participate through our planning and zoning or whatever the appropriate means is to object to the expansion of this mining operation on 165?
We have no choice in those matters of requests for mining according to the other mining issues that's been brought forward to the county.
But we
don't regulate that or anything in any way. However, this particular property was presented to Tane County Planning as a commercial project with some convenience store and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And since we did zone it, they will, I don't know if it'll make any matter or anything like that, but since we did have it zoned as something already before it turned into that, then the Department of Natural Resources, Mines and Reclamation would consider that before they would let this expand, because we did, if it was just farmland or anything like that, we don't govern that at all.
And they will hear objections to the expansion. They do have the authority to expand or not expand, and they can decide that this isn't appropriate and this area with the residences around and that sort of thing.
That doesn't come before us. It comes before P&Z.
No, it goes before this body that approves the expansion or not the expansion.
Which is the DNR
body? Right. This will not come before P&Z. We were just notified that they made application to expand, and they wanted to know if we had any comment, if we wanted to send in a comment saying, or just let it go and not say anything.
They've solicited a comment from us.
We have notified Audrey Anderson, who owns the RV park there, and you know, and I don't know who all, but this was in the newspaper 4 times. And everything. So I know my planning and zoning board spent many months trying to get the operator back into our before our board, because we thought we had a viable project operating out there that is out of compliance. And then once they did come before the board, found out that it was indeed a quarry at that particular time, had been operating under a land disturbance permit issued by Taney County for the preparation of a commercial operation.
See, that's where I thought you would step in, is under the land disturbance after it went to a quarry, then you would say...
Well, once it went to a quarry, we have no, according to our code book, we have no jurisdiction. We step out of it and say, we don't, you know, we basically canceled all of our permits out. There.
We could have objected to the quarry through the same process. However, we didn't know that it had occurred. And it happened, I guess, without our knowledge, even though there were notices, and it was a done deal, and we no longer had control over those 8 acres. But there's 32 more acres.
Correct.
They want to clear 32 more acres, possibly, of land out there.
I believe that we should respond to this, because it is a residential area, very close to it. I think there's good reasons for us to respond. I believe we should make a response.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Do you know the 32 acres you're requesting, is it along 165 or is it straight back? Do you know how it lays out?
It would have to be further back. I don't know, up the hill and everything.
Up the hill more.
Because when you're facing the property, to the right would be the Wilderness Club.
Right.
And then as you get out around, there's more property owned by different individuals
and
residents and stuff up there. So,
I agree with Chuck.
And I don't know that it would have any effect or anything like that, but before I send a letter on behalf of Taney County, I wanted to make sure that you gentlemen were aware or were concerned about it. I know it's been a source of a lot of complaints to our planning board, and they were very concerned. But once they found out that it was a quarry that had been permitted by you know, the state, then our code book clearly states we don't have any control over it. But we can be concerned, if we need to be, about the expansion of it.
Yeah, we've had these. I'm in total agreement. Nobody likes it. Nobody likes 3 or 4 of those situations that's taking place. But before, we didn't have any. I didn't think it came before us.
Well, unfortunately, a letter like this will come into an office, sometimes ours, sometimes somewhere else. We read through the newspapers. I try to catch the newspapers on a regular basis, read the classified ads. It's not because I'm a nerd or anything like that. It's just, you know, because things like this pop up and we see them.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened last time. This kind of thing came through without anybody really picking up on it that it was happening.
So we'll have a separate work session set up to discuss what our position is going to be then.
Okay. It's on the agenda to discuss.
How long do we have to respond?
We have 14 days from the 26th of May, so next week we have to have something.
So we need to put it on maybe for Monday?
Afternoon sometime.
Okay. We don't have a posted, so we really can't discuss it. Mm-hmm. That way it gives people to make sure we hear some feedback.
I'll go ahead and draft a letter and bring it in.
That's what I was going to suggest.
Yeah, you make some suggestions. Would be great.
Draft a letter.
And I'll send a note to
get it on the agenda?
Yes, sir.
And this is just to bring it to your attention.
Thank you.
Okay.
And get it scheduled.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay. 2 minute recess.
And then we're going to go to the executive for 15 minutes, and then we'll go to our 10 o'clock bid opening.
Okay.
Or 10:05, maybe 10:05 at that point.
Okay. Is that all right?
Mm-hmm. 2 minute recess.
I can get out of there.